Chapter 1. Like a fox to a burrow, like an eagle to an eyrie. Or eternity, empires, and the emperors that rule them. He must have had a life before this. A mother, a father, a home, maybe sisters and brothers. But it had been so long, too long. And now, all he knew was this bloody game. His hands knew no other shape than fists curled tightly around a sword, swinging eternally, finding its mark through skin and bone. They all tried to run, of course. They built walls and cowered in corners, but he always found them. Sometimes they begged, sometimes they chose to jump from cliffs rather than face his reckoning, and sometimes they stared back at him with eyes as empty as his own and welcomed death with open arms. Those were the ones he envied the most. Technoblade never dies, they whispered around campfires and funeral pyres. He prayed that that wasn't true. The voices led him to kingdoms and shires and towns. It didn't matter what they offered him in return. The voices didn't demand coin. They demanded blood. He fought for bold men and stupid men, greedy kings and starry-eyed rebels. He fought for armies doomed to fail and dragged them into the light of glory. He had lost count of how many allies he'd fought behind. After a time, their names and faces had faded into the recesses of his hazy memory. And then, there was the Angel of Death. He was one of the few people with a reputation that matched Technoblade's. He'd heard of the Angel through whispered stories and snatches of tavern gossip. "I heard he has obsidian wings," one patron would say to another over a cup of ale. "I heard he once massacred an entire army, all by himself. He makes even the green god afraid." Technoblade had begun to imagine a ruthless man, an immortal butcher with the same wretched grin as his. But Filza was not an avenging angel. He was just Filza. They'd met by coincidence in a land of ice and snow. It was barren, but they'd make quick work of it together, first as allies, then as friends. Through it all, Filza had smiled instead of grinned, laughed instead of cackled. On calmer days, they'd while away time with tea and chess, and silent meditations that quieted the screaming in Techno's head, if only for a little while. "You know," Techno had said during one of their sparring matches. They had to stay in shape, of course, because peace times never lasted as long as people hoped. "The stories never talk about this side of you." Filza had paused, a small amused smile on his face. "Oh?" he said. "What do the stories talk about then?" "They call you the Angel of Death." Techno dug his heel in as Filza resumed an onslaught of blows with his dulled sword. "They say you leave a path of destruction in your wake, that nothing—" Techno parried and went on the offensive. "That nothing is sacred to you." Their blades met. They pushed against each other, trying to gain an upper hand. And it was only because they were standing so close that Techno noticed the shift in Filza's eyes. A momentary coldness that was as brutal as the blizzard raging outside. It was there and gone in an instant. Light returned, and Filza laughed as he pushed back against Techno's sword. "Stories are curious things," Filza said as he swung again, barely giving Techno time to dodge. "Some of them are true." He moved so quickly, Techno could do nothing but stand there as Filza rushed him with the hilt to his ribs, knocking Techno backwards onto the training room floor. Techno scrambled to his knees, but Filza was already standing over him with his sword held high above his head, his eyes glimmering with an emotion Techno couldn't place. For once in his immortal life, kneeling there in front of the first person he called friend, Technoblade felt hunted. And then, Filza lowered his weapon. He smiled gently at Techno, the soft smile Techno was used to, and offered him a gloved hand. "And some of them are not," Filza finished. "So, best 2 out of 3? "You're a bastard," Techno said playfully, even as the voices screamed, "Run, run, run." He took Filza's offered hand and pulled himself up beside the man he was sure could have cut him in two, no matter how dulled the sword's edge was. As Filza patiently moved Techno through all the things he'd done wrong, small things like foot placement and his hilt grip being off by an inch, Techno found it equal parts amusing and frightening that despite his eons of bloody fighting, it only took a few minutes of sparring for Filza to find flaws in his technique. But then again, Techno's technique wasn't particularly polished. It only took one brutal swing to fell most people. Something told him that Filza would be harder to kill than that. They conquered nations, he and his golden-haired friend. They were bathed in glory, twin gods shining in the middle of a bloody field. But as their empires grew, so did their enemies. They came in droves, day after day, and before long, Techno had forgotten what peace tasted like. The days were long, and the nights were even longer. Every flicker of movement was a spy in the shadows, every ally was a potential traitor, every word was a declaration of war. Their home had become a target for 1,000 armies. Through it all, his one constant was Filza. Until he wasn't. Technoblade simply looked up one day from a map detailing enemy lines and realized he'd been talking to empty air. He had no idea how long he'd been alone, sitting in a dusty library with stale tea untouched in the corner. He had no idea if Filza ever said he was leaving, or if he simply went as he arrived, suddenly, swiftly, like a snowstorm. Afterwards, there was hardly any point in maintaining the Empire. The voices were getting bored anyway. They wanted fresh blood. They wanted more stories. So Techno took his sword and his shield and abandoned ship. He'd done it a million times before, but the thought of a chessboard lying unused in a crumbling castle made him feel something close to regret. Techno wandered the world, quenching his thirst, trying to appease the voices. Neither of them were ever satisfied. No matter how much chaos he dealt, there was always more work to be done. So he worked. He had no idea for how long. All he remembered from that bloody time was the sense of unfulfillment, like a story had been left unfinished halfway through. Years, decades, maybe more. It hardly mattered. In the end, he knew, it would all be the same. The world would end, and he would remain. Always fighting, always alone. He didn't know what brought him to the kingdom in the first place. Did he really have to see it for himself? Was it simply to satiate his curiosity? Was he bored? Or did he hear of a kingdom untouched by the wars and petty grudges of his neighbors, keeping its peace and neutrality for a century, and take that as a challenge? Whatever it was, when Techno stood under the shadow of a gilded castle, watching its flags flutter lazily in the summer breeze, he felt a flicker of a once familiar emotion stir in his heart. There was something about the cobblestone walls and towers rising into the sky that reminded him of a different place, somewhere cold and far away. "Hello, stranger," one of the guards at the gates called out. "You sightseeing?" Techno paused at the man's cheerful tone. Most of the guards that caught sight of Techno's sword and blood-red cape were quick to draw their weapons, but aside from spears that seemed more decorative than threatening, the guards at the gates didn't seem to be on guard at all. "Hubris," the voices said. "This is a kingdom of hubris." "Perhaps," Techno drawled, indulging the guard, "although I suppose I'm more curious about what's inside rather than outside." "Why didn't you just say so?" the guard beckoned Techno forward. "The castle is always open for tourists. Just come right in." And that was how Techno found himself walking leisurely down the halls of a castle that, under normal circumstances, he would have been storming blades drawn. The guards did draw the line at his weaponry and made him discard his swords at the door, as if Techno needed more than his hands, and sometimes not even those, to wreak havoc. The castle's laxness and security was disproportional to the opulence within. Lush carpets softened Techno's footsteps, elegant tapestries decorated the walls, flowers bloomed from vases as tall as he, and oil paintings in gilded frames. Paintings of solemn landscapes, of wild animals roaming a cultivated garden, of a dark-haired boy astride a white horse, a hint of a smile in the corner of his mouth, and of the king. Technoblade stopped under the painting, nestled between vases of irises. "Oh," he thought, "that's why." It wasn't hubris making this kingdom think they were protected from everything. It was their king. Rendered in paint and shadow, he looked just as Technoblade remembered, the years leaving no mark on his immortal face. He was standing behind a modest throne, his hand laid gently on the shoulder of a dark-haired woman that must be his queen, and in the queen's arms was a golden-haired toddler sleeping peacefully. On the floor by her feet, with his legs crossed under him, was another child, older, with a gold circlet nestled in his brown curls. "Will be!" A child's shrill voice rang down the hall. Technoblade's hands instinctively reached for his sword as he turned from the painting and found himself facing the very same boy from the painting, the prince. He was a tall, lean thing, his face holding the faint traces of boyhood. He couldn't have been more than 14. In the painting, he'd been grinning, forever immortalized in delight, but here, he was staring, his dark eyes unnaturally focused as if Techno was a particularly interesting book he was quietly picking apart in his head. Techno had seen that expression many times in the faces of wizened generals looking over battlefield arrangements. "Hello," the prince said cautiously. Technoblade found himself raising his hand in a small wave. "Hello." "Will be, wait for me," the first voice called again, closer this time, and heralding the appearance of another child around the bend of the hallway. By his lavish attire and the small army of servants following fretfully after him, this could only be the younger prince, barely more than a babe in the painting, but now a rather loud six-year-old. The younger prince marched purposefully towards his older brother, Wilby, and clung decidedly to his side as they both stared up at Techno. "And who are you?" the small prince said in what he must have intended to be a threatening tone, but he sounded only like what he really was, a child. "A visitor," said Techno, unsure of what he was meant to say now. "Have you come to have an audience with our father?" the older prince asked in a decidedly more level tone. "You can't," the younger prince snapped at once, tightening his hold on his older brother's shirt front. "Dad promised today was our day with him, so you can just leave now, thank you."
"Tommy, calm yourself."
"But Wilbur, Dad said..."
"I know what Father said, Tommy," the older prince, Wilbur then, not Wilby. Gods know what Techno would have done if the man had truly named his son Wilby. Was still staring at Techno like a vulture waiting for a dying animal to drop.
"So visitor, what is your business here?"
"I have no business," Technoblade said. "I am visiting. Sightseeing. I am a traveler."
"First you are a visitor, and now you are a traveler." A smile tugged at the prince's lips. "This exchange would have been much easier if we knew your name."
Technoblade glanced at the servants lining the halls behind the prince's, clearly in earshot, but dutifully maintaining the illusion of privacy. But if he knew their father at all, he'd know most of those standing guards around his sons would be lethal killers. He just hadn't anticipated the arrival of a god. What would they do if they heard his name? Would any of them recognize it? Would they know what it meant to have him standing before their young princes? How long would they last against him? As he looked down at the two brothers, the voices whispered how fragile their necks must be. "Blood for the blood god," they chorused. But instead, Technoblade found himself saying, "My name is... Technoblade?" Technoblade lifted his eyes from the young princes and found himself staring at their father. "Ilza?" Ilza stood at the end of the hallway, undoubtedly following the familiar cadence of his son's voices. He glanced at them now, still standing before Technoblade, like unwitting sheep waiting for slaughter. But Filza's eyes showed no fear. Instead, they looked back at Techno. He only smiled, his face softening with a familiar relief, the expression of a man after a long, hard-fought battle, seeing peace on the horizon at last.
"Old friend," said Filza, "it's nice to see you again."
"Traitor,"
the voices clamored. "Traitor, traitor, traitor."
"Father," Wilbur's voice brought them back to reality. This was a different castle, a different time. "Do you know this stranger?"
"Well, obviously, Wilbur," Tommy rolled his eyes. "Dad just said his name, didn't he?"
"Technoblade. That's a dumb name."
"Tommy,"
Phil's reprimanded, with no real heat behind his words. He drew closer to them, his steps quiet and even. The servants that had followed the two boys bowed in deference to their liege, despite him wearing no crown. In fact, he looked just as much of a traveler as Techno was, dressed in simple trousers and shirt, perfect for blending in, perfect for a man on the run. "It's been a long time," Phils said when he reached them, putting a gentle hand on top of Tommy's blonde head. The boy arched toward the touch like a sunflower reaching towards the sun. Technoblade didn't know if the move was calculated, or just a simple act of affection, or knowing Filza, both. "How have you been?"
"How have I been?"
Techno repeated numbly,
feeling a familiar chill creep into his bones.
Actually, Filza interrupted before kneeling to look at his boys in the eyes. "Wilbur, take your brother out to the garden for a bit, yeah?" Wilbur pouted, for once looking like a boy his age.
"But you said..."
"I know what I said, and I keep my promises, don't I?" Filza ruffled Wilbur's hair, and then Tommy's. "I'll join you in a moment. I just need to have a talk with Technoblade here." Wilbur stared at his father for a long time, as if weighing the truth of his words, before nodding. He took his brother's hand in his and began leading him away. "Come on, Tommy," he said. "Let's play outside."
"Technoblade's still a dumb name,"
Tommy muttered as they passed him, closely followed by their servants. Wilbur met Technoblade's eyes just for a moment before they were gone, down the hall, out of sight, leaving Technoblade alone with the king. Technoblade turned towards Filza, his old friend, and found the smile wiped clean from his face. Phil's a gesture down the hall. Walk with me. Technoblade could only nod and follow Filza. They were quiet as they walked. Techno remembered days like these during their time together, long days of companionable silence as they simply existed together. But there was something different this time. There was an edge. Techno could sense Filza sizing him up, tallying his hidden weapons, calculating his improvements. In turn, Techno mapped his escape routes as Filza led him through the halls, then up a sweeping flight of stairs. He did not want to expect violence from Filza, but he hadn't expected to be left behind either. They reached a balcony overlooking a garden, where most of the flowers indoors undoubtedly came from. Wisteria and ivy grew around marble pillars, rose bushes and dandelions and carnations bloomed en masse at the foot of elaborate stone statues. At the center of the garden was a weeping willow, its branches providing shade for the two boys chasing each other across the grass. Their laughter echoed down the glade, reaching even Techno and their father high up on the balcony. For a while, the two of them watched the two princes. Wilbur was obviously faster than Tommy, but he slowed his pace just enough for his little brother to have fun chasing his heels. They're a handful. Filza's soft tone turned Techno's attention away from the princes. The king was almost smiling, but the hard glint in his eyes didn't disappear. Wilbur was quieter before Tommy was born. A little bookworm holed up in his room all day. But I have a feeling you didn't drop by for silly stories like that. Filza turned toward Techno. So go ahead, and let me have it. Techno didn't know what he was meant to feel. He didn't know what he was meant to say. For years, he'd put Filza out of his mind, determined to forget that interlude of peace. He'd let the memories fester like untreated wounds. Now he thought he'd rather die of infection than acknowledge out loud that it was real, that the pain was there at all. I didn't mean to drop by, Techno said eventually. I didn't know this place was yours. I can leave if you... No. Filza shook his head. Don't leave. Truth be told, this reunion was inevitable. Or, I hoped it was. How long have you been here? Filza considered. How long has this kingdom been standing? Phil, that's... I know. People like us aren't meant to stay in one place for too long. Phil sighed and turned back toward the horizon. He leaned his arms against the wrought iron railings and looked out over the land below. The slope of the distant mountains, the kingdom that stretched on and on, unaware that their immortal king was all that stood between them and destruction. I found a small town while I was traveling, and I made it something more. I told myself I would leave after a year, and then it became 2 years, 3 years, a decade. I did leave eventually, before they figured out why their town mayor never aged. But then I found out the moment I left, Phil's expression turned cold. They were annihilated. I came back and everyone had been burnt to the ground. It was just ashes. Everything I built. They were survivors, of course, and they blamed their leader for leaving, of course, as they should. So I stayed. I built it back up again from a small, decimated town to what you see today. As far as the people know, leadership has been passed on from one king to another, who vaguely looks like him. I'm sure the eldest of them have their rumors, but is it so bad to be known? Technoblade didn't realize until Filza turned back to look at him that he had expected an answer to his question, but all Technoblade could say was, "Is this why you left me behind?" Techno, I understand. You heard the place you loved was in trouble and you came back. But why didn't you take me? Here it was at last. Catharsis, or something close to it. I would have hunted them down with you, Filza, the people who did that to your town. I would have given you your vengeance on a silver platter. I would have given you the world. Filza didn't look guilty. He just looked tired. I didn't hunt them down, though. What? The people who burned down my town. I didn't hunt them down as much as I wanted to. They were long gone by the time I arrived, and at that moment, my people needed a leader, not a hunter. And I didn't bring you because I didn't know when to be either. They stood there, letting the words settle in silence that stretched tauter and tauter like a rope around Technoblade's neck. Deny it, he wanted to shout. Tell me I'm wrong. But Filza did not. I don't need to hear this from you, Technoblade spat. A well of old hurt and anger, once dried up, began to fill anew. Do your sons even know what you are? Who you are? The Angel of Death. Domesticated. What a farce. Filza stiffened. You know not of what you speak. I once saw you tear a man apart with your bare hands, and now you're telling me about leadership, about kindness? I say nothing of kindness. If I had completely renounced my ways, my kingdom would not be what it is today. Domesticated dogs still bite. Filza stepped toward them until they were eye to eye. Despite the accusations Techno hurled at him, despite their bloody history, Techno had never seen Filza truly angry. He had a feeling that if he kept running down this road head first, he might find himself knowing the full extent of his old friend's wrath. Filza's eyes were hard as flint, one spark away from combustion. Technoblade glanced down at the garden. Phil followed his gaze until they were both staring back at the two boys below, who'd ceased their playing to wonder at their father and the stranger. They couldn't have heard a thing of what Filza or Techno said, but Wilbur stood with his head cocked inquisitively to the side, as if he were turning over their words. "Dad!" Tommy shouted. "Are you almost finished?" "Almost," Filza called back. "I'll be right down, kids." Tommy elbowed Wilbur and said something that made the other boy throw his head back in laughter. Then the two of them took off, back to their games, back to their honey-eyed childhood. When Technoblade turned to Phil again, the king's expression had turned considerably softer. Techno could live another 1,000 years and still never understand how easily Filza could hide his fury. "I wasn't trying to settle down," Filza said, quietly now, as if he was imploring a child to stop a tantrum. His eyes were still on his sons below. "I was content for a while to watch the kingdom grow, but these mortals and their short, fitful lives, they draw you in, Technoblade. I used to think they were moths drawn to flame, doomed to catch fire for the most inconsequential things. We've seen their wars, you and I. We fought them. We both know the things they do to each other." Filza took hold of the balcony railings as if it was the only thing keeping him from floating away. "But over the years, I've also learned about the things they do for each other. Their lives will always be 1 year, 1 week, 1 day too short. But it doesn't seem to matter much to them. They live anyway. They love anyway. Forgive an old god for wanting a piece of that for himself." The late morning breeze passed through, carrying with it the scent of flowers and the shredded remains of Techno's anguish. His fury was still there, and the feelings of betrayal so grand it might never be bridged. But the exhaustion had begun to settle in. Techno was used to quick brawls and long hunts, but verbal altercations was not something he ever trained for, mostly because he had not cared to speak to anyone that mattered since forever, perhaps. And maybe Filza had been tired, too, of their life before, always fighting, never safe. And although Techno thought it was only a matter of time before this game of peace was over, he thought, maybe, he could start to understand why Filza took the chance. It was a foolish move, and Technoblade would scoff at it for the rest of their immortal lives. But it would not be the worst choice anyone had ever made. Technoblade had seen the worst, and this was barely a drop in the ocean of bad decisions. Still, it was stupid. One look at Filza, and Technoblade realized he must know it too. "Are they like you?" Techno asked at last, unsure what answer he was waiting for. "Your boys?" Filza sighed. "I would not wish my fate on my worst enemy, least of all my own children." His hands tightened around the railings. "They take after their mother, mortal, good in all ways. I thank every god that has ever existed for that, but sometimes..." "Sometimes?" Techno prompted when the silence had stretched too long. Filza's jaw clenched. "It's Wilbur. He speaks of voices." "Voices?" Filza met Techno's eyes, a conversation from lifetimes ago replayed in Techno's mind, a moment of vulnerability in a castle not too different from this one, where he had spilled his secrets as easily as he spilled blood. "The voices, Phil.
They demand blood.
There was a world's worth of agony in Filza's stare, a burden only understood by a parent fearing for their child. "I am glad he is not like me," Filza said, "but sometimes I fear he is growing more and more like you." Techno's breath hitched in his throat. He resisted the urge to look down again, to search the grass for the boy with the ancient eyes. The voices began to sing. "Not alone," they said. "Not alone, not alone, not alone. No," Techno said, curling his hands into fish and digging his nails into flesh until they drew blood, his daily penance. "He is but a child." Technoblade paused. What was he talking about? What did it matter what Wilbur was? What was this sudden ache in his chest, something telling of a far deeper wound, an older affliction? He did not know this boy. He should not care. He did not care. But then Filza seized him by the wrist as if he knew Techno was about to take off running and forced him to meet his tortured gaze. That is why I hoped you would come. Truth be told, I was very close to looking for you myself. I cannot do this by myself, Technoblade, as much as I want to. You're the only one. You want my help, Techno said dully. My help. After you abandoned me, you denounced my ways and called me a monster. Filza flinched. I would never call you that, my friend. Friend. The word that Technoblade had only truly understood in the days of snow and sweet tea. I don't owe you anything, Techno said quietly. I don't owe that child anything. I know. And I have better things to do with my time. I know. After all you did, I shouldn't even be listening to you right now. I should leave. I know, Techno. I know. And then, Filza did something Technoblade will never in 100 or 1,000,000 years have ever expected him to do. He kneeled. Filza, once emperor, presently king, angel of death, kneeled for Technoblade, grasping pathetically at his cloak, his golden hair bowed. The voices were a chorus of disdain and disgust. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. And when Filza spoke again, his voice wavered. I am truly sorry for leaving, but I am asking you, begging you, to do this for me. For my son, for the friendship that we once shared, Techno. Please, please. I do not know how much time the gods will give us. What will you have me do? Techno demanded, his own voice fraying at the edges. What do you expect from me, Phil? Filza looked up at him, his face a study in agony. Stay and help as much as you can, and together maybe we can help you as well. The voices paused, just for a moment. Just for a breath, they all considered the weight of Filza's words. And gods, the silence, however brief, however fleeting, was the sweetest thing Technoblade had ever heard. We can help you. What does that mean, exactly? What would that entail? Technoblade didn't know, and didn't care. He'd come here in search of a kingdom of peace, and he'd found it. Forgive an old god for wanting a piece of that for himself, Filza had said. And what was peace, if not the silence? Was that not freedom at last? So as the voices began to chant anew, an immortal hunger offering an immortal king his hand, the sun climbed higher towards the heart of the sky as Technoblade pulled Filza to his feet, and they were once again on equal ground. He had no idea what he was doing. There was no true alternative. So Technoblade met his old friend's gaze and said, "All right, you and me, one more time."